Our reading this morning comes from Reverend Dr. Sandra Fees. Sometimes you use mistake the focus on listening to self with a fierce individualism and independence. The worth and dignity of every person, every self, sometimes gets used to prioritize one individual without an equal concern for relationships and community. But listening to self actually turns out to be inseparable from listening to others. Just as honoring each person's worth and dignity is inseparable from honoring the interconnection of all people. So the attentiveness to the self is inextricably related to attentiveness to the other, to a greater wholeness. As Dag Hammarskjöld says, the more faithfully you listen to the voice within you, the better you will hear what is sounding outside. The ancient Hindu philosophy of Vedanta offers an interesting and helpful perspective. This philosophy includes two interrelated concepts of self. One is the individual self, and the other is the universal self. The individual self is our memories, desires, emotions, thoughts, and experiences. And the universal self is an awareness of belonging not to one's own body and mind. It doesn't see the universe as different from oneself. Instead, this universal self is unchanging, a consciousness which underlies everything. So the universal self identifies with everything in the universe. Ultimately, deep listening connects to the spirit in all, in us, in each other, in the universe, in other beings. We are called to be faithful to our inner lives so that we can be faithful to the outer world as well. So, I'm really glad to be here, first of all. Glad to be with all of you. And I was thinking about what could I say this morning as I'm preaching, as we're getting to know each other. And I thought, well, why don't I go way back in my own life? I'll just start at the beginning. We'll work our way through this year. That's not a promise. I'm just a suggestion. But the first place that we lived when I was a kid in Indiana was really the most perfect neighborhood ever. It was filled with a whole bunch of boys that were somewhere between my age and my brother's age. And we could go to any of their houses for lunch for an impromptu grilled cheese and chocolate milk available, you know, any of those houses there. We played together. We rang the doorbell of the old couple who lived right in the middle, who always gave us candy when we asked for it. Even our dogs played together. So when I was 7 years old, we moved away, and it was hard. We moved to a cul-de-sac, and I wouldn't have known the word for it then, but I was grieving. I was grieving what we had left. I was grieving what we had lost, and I wasn't particularly open to any new possibilities. My heart, my ears were shut. I wasn't listening. So eventually we did meet some of our neighbors. They seemed nice enough, but I was not ready to give them a chance. But I couldn't help noticing that across the cul-de-sac from us was this great big noisy family. Four boys, two parents, very noisy household. There was always music drifting out from the windows. There was shouting too. I won't say that they didn't have their arguments among them. Our house was maybe a little too quiet and sedate sometimes, but they made up for it with the door slamming and the yelling and the singing and the music and projects. They were always building something, a new shed or furniture. Mr. Schaefer's hammer would ring into the night. So one early fall evening, Mr. Schaefer, this jovial bearded man, his large convertible peeled out of their driveway with the four boys in it and stopped right in front of our driveway where my father and I were standing. And Mr. Schaefer shouted to us. He said, look, He said, there's a hot air balloon. I looked, and sure enough, right over the rooftops of our houses, there was this hot air balloon hovering. It's going to land near here, said Mr. Schaefer, so we are going to go after it. Hop in. So I looked at my dad, and my dad shrugged and nodded. I mean, we kind of knew these people. This was the 80s, right? And so I did. I hopped in, and we were off. The autumn wind in our hair, flashes of red and gold on the trees as the car went whizzing by. There we were in this car together, chasing this balloon. Down the neighborhood roads we went, careened probably a little too fast here and there. The radio was on and the music sped us along. Overhead, we could see the vibrant colors of the hot air balloon getting closer and closer to our field of vision. And suddenly, me, who had been feeling nothing really but grief, felt something like joy bubbling up from somewhere inside. And I found myself laughing. And then we were all laughing. Here we were, whizzing along, chasing a balloon, together in this car, veritable strangers, and it was joyful in the unexpectedness of it, in the availability that we had to be present to this moment. I realized then it didn't even matter whether we ever found the balloon, though we did just a few minutes later as it landed rather anticlimactically in the field just outside our neighborhood. But that moment of the chase, together, that was the joy. It wasn't the destination that mattered. It was the journey. You know, over time, I've come to really appreciate what it was in Mr. Schaefer, and I saw this over and over in the way he lived his life, that caused him to hop in the car with his kids and even the neighbor's kid and set off chasing a balloon. What did he hear inside him? What spoke to him that caused him to do that? What voice, what music was he listening to? I've come to believe that life calls to us if we take the time to listen. Parker Palmer says we all have an inner teacher whose guidance is more reliable than anything we can get from a doctrine, ideology, collective belief system, institution, or leader. It's learning to listen to that which is deep within, the voice of that universal self the Hindus talk about, to listen to the call of life itself that can lead us on unexpected journeys, journeys that can open new doors, build new relationships, bring us unexpected joys. Deep listening to life is all about opening ourselves up to maybe what we just didn't expect. For after chasing that balloon together, the Schaefers and I, we were fast friends. I didn't really lament the loss of my old neighborhood so much anymore. Now I was part of those backyard building projects of the Schaefers' impromptu visits to organ palaces and old-time pizza parlors and helping out at food banks, all seeming to come from Mr. Schaefer and his family's ability to really listen to where life was calling them at the moment. Our own individual life is not only richer when we listen to what calls us, but we become more connected to one another. Now, I know this is all well and good that I'm up here saying this, but the truth is, listening to what comes along on life's journey is a lot easier said than done. I get it. I really get it. I'm a bit of a hope peddler, right? But that's okay. I'll also tell you the honest truth. I like resolution as much as I like, you know, chasing a balloon. I like to know what's going to happen. Maybe you've heard, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but maybe you've heard there's a presidential election that's coming up, right? Maybe like me, you're slightly invested in the outcome. Maybe you care just a little bit on how that election turns out. But as I've been thinking lately, as important as it is to be invested in that outcome, if we're too hyper-focused on about what is to come or potentially to come, we miss what's happening along the journey now. We might miss something of what life is telling us as we're going along. This is just a small note in kind of thinking about that. I tried to listen to the vice presidential debate this week with that kind of open mind, that deep listening. And I heard on a surface level so many things I'm used to hearing, the information and the cliche talking points and denial of facts and cases, all that kind of stuff. But I also, under all of that, heard a civil tone that I hadn't quite heard from both parties in a while at that level, on that platform. And this is when I'm listening to that deeper call under all of that. And it gave me hope that maybe there is some sense, some deeper sense that life is calling people toward a more civil discourse, that it's possible. That cacophony that's out there that we're always hearing, that doesn't have to actually be the reality of what the deeper truth is for people. That's not to say that, the campaign season is going to all be hunky-dory from here on out or anything like that. But I think if we can sometimes allow ourselves not to be too caught up in the surface content of the conversation, and listen more deeply to what is there at that universal level, we might be so lucky as to hear a chord of music that breaks through that cacophony. Maybe. So this week has also been the time of the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, which some of you may acknowledge and hold dear. Rabbi Carrie Baker says, it inaugurates the beginning of the days of awe, 10 days of introspection and repentance that culminates on Yom Kippur, also known as the Day of Atonement. Now, this most holy of times is a time, whether we identify as Jewish or not, it's a reminder that this is a time to listen and reflect deeply to the call of life, the places of awe and the places where we might reflect on past mistakes and make amends to others. And of course, at this time, we also can't help but think of the Israel-Palestine conflict. And one of the, I think, the great joys we have in coming together as a faith community is that we can often sometimes move into that place where we're listening more deeply to what's happening. And as much as there are real and valid concerns on the surface to talk about, there's also a deeper cry under all of that. And I think that cry is that humanity can do better. That humanity can do better. That too many Israeli and Palestinian lives have been lost. And the horrors of all that tell me that we could do better as human beings. Hurricanes, natural disasters. There's a deeper cry under that. Tells us something about how we respond and to care for others in times of need. Unitarian Universalism itself is in a place of deep listening. Now, you may have heard that at this last summer's General Assembly, the 7 or 8 principles that have been so beloved by UU since the 1980s have shifted in the actual UUA bylaws so that they are now values, 6 values, in fact. We went from 8 to 6, but all the principle stuff is in there, but it's complicated. But the 6 values are justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity. The acronym is JET-PIG. So there's been a lot of little, pigs with a jetpack on their back and so on. So, we UUs, I think we're going to be looked at as weird out in the larger community, so we should just lean into the jet pig thing, right? That's my take on it. No use resisting. So you've got those 6 values, but perhaps most importantly, perhaps most radically about what they've done is those 6 values are right in the center of those is love. So love is a word that did not appear in our principles before. And this is actually a bold theological statement, because remember, you know, the last half of the 20th century, we were pretty humanist. We wanted to move away from religious or theological language, and there were some really good reasons for some of that movement. But now kind of reclaiming this word love and recognizing that perhaps naming that as our center is a way that for us to move forward as a faith community, it's really intriguing. And I appreciate that our leadership is trying to listen really hard to where life is calling Unitarian Universalism right now. And we can still, don't worry, we can still hold those principles dear. No one's taking those away. I look at it as we now have the six values as well, circling around love. So we can have it all. We can have our cake. We can eat it too. We can have some pie. We can have it, whatever we want. Those principles were never a destination, remember. They were always part of a journey. And it's a journey that we are all still on as we evolve, as we grow, as we transform. And we're on this together. You know, I'm delighted to be here as your halftime minister this year. Life is full of the unexpected. To summarize very briefly my life in the last year, I think I looked up and saw a few colorful balloons floating by, and I thought, why not? And I hopped in the convertible, and one of the places I am is right here with you as a result of that. So I'm very, very glad of that. And I think this year that we spend together, we can plan a bunch of things, and you've got a wonderful president who I know I will enjoy working with him and your board on planning things, but we can also do that deep listening throughout this time together. Deep listening to find out what is calling this congregation forward. What might it mean to grow, to expand the reach of this congregation? What might it mean to expand the ways that we offer healing and a spiritual home to people who are in need in this area? And I guarantee you, they are all not sitting in this room or joining us online. They are out there and they need you. You have something to give that they can't get anywhere else. What does it mean to boldly name love as our theological center as a faith movement? I think the answers, at least the answers for this moment, are there. It will simply require listening, that deep listening together to that universal call. And being willing to not just listen, but also, how many of us can fit in that convertible? Let's see here. Because I think we're going to have to hop in that convertible sometimes on the spur of the moment, maybe without knowing exactly where we're going. Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says, no matter what comes along, we're always standing at the center of the world in the middle of a sacred space, and everything that comes into that circle and exists with us there has come to teach us what we need to know. I'm here as your teacher. You're here as mine. We learn together. We teach one another. We learn from one another. No matter what we plan in advance, our journey together will be most successful when we listen to what is calling to us along the way. And in your own life, I hope you feel empowered to listen to what is calling you. Look, I know we all have responsibilities. Some folks have health issues, and some are struggling with relationship problems, grief, job loss, mental health struggles, addiction, you name it. Somebody's going through it, either in this room, online, or somebody that we know and care and love for. We can't always chase after every brightly colored beacon in the sky, nor should we. But some things, even in our most challenging times, some things still call to us. And it's listening so that we can find those things, so that we can actually hear them, even when it's tough. That is life's greatest challenge, but I also think it's what life is all about. Even our pain can tell us something about where we are and where we need to go. Frederick Buckner says, whenever you find tears in your eyes, especially unexpected tears, it is well to pay the closest attention. They're not only telling you something about the secret of who you are, but more often than not, God or spirit or universal self, whatever you prefer, is speaking to you through that them of the mystery of where you have come from and is summoning you to where you should go next. However we understand our greatest truth, whether it's divine or the product of our intellects and instincts, the point is that wherever we are in life, we have the opportunity to listen to that universal self. And I hope in your own life, as I've shared this story this morning, I hope it's brought back for you moments when you've been able to hop in the convertible and chase a balloon. And while that moment that I told you about was truly just a moment, what I've realized over time is that there is a longer journey of life that is approached the same way, one in which we learn to live in connection with that voice and music that calls us, that invites us to live in the moment. That's one of the things Scott does for you when you're here on Sunday. It's not just pretty music. He's inviting you in to a deeper connection with your universal self. Something that invites us to be curious about what is to be, and that finds through an appreciation of life's unexpected gifts the beauty of relationships, the restorative healing quality that the love at the center of our lives brings. Now, I have to tell you, as for the Schaefer family, I lost touch with them once our family moved away yet again. But I'll forever be grateful for them. For the time chasing balloons or breaking bread together, for the laughter and the camaraderie, but most importantly, for the lesson about learning to listen to life, not just once, not just every now and then, but as an ongoing practice. Listen. It's worth it. What you hear will bring you to where you are supposed to be and who you are supposed to be.